Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Noom. Forget one-size-fits-all diets. With Noom, you get a personalized weight loss plan that's tailored to your lifestyle. No food is off-limits. Enjoy your favorites while discovering healthier habits. Noom's users love the flexible approach, blending psychology and biology to help you lose weight in a way that's sustainable for you. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 694. What you got on the Nerdist Community Cookbook?
I got one that actually comes from within the family. A longtime Nerdist, Nerd Melt, Nerd Turn fella named Adam Murray.
Yep.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with this man.
Yeah.
He has kind of become my inspiration for a lot of stuff. He started about a year ago and said, I'm going to do a new sketch every month, and they're all going to be genre-themed things, like ambitious stuff. And he has held to it. And his YouTube channel, which is Adam, A-T-O-M, Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y, Adam Murray, is fucking phenomenal. Like, they are crazy funny. They have, like, really cool production value. He really makes a lot out of very small budget stuff. He has a sketch for Jurassic World where it's just them in a control room and they just keep listing more and more things that the, like, creature has added to it. And to the point where it has laser vision that is cutting through the door that they're in. There's a great one where Ed Salazar plays Beastmaster.
Nice.
And everyone's just really underwhelmed by his shitty ability to control animals. There's a lot of fun ones. There's a Thing parody.
So this is Adam Murray's YouTube channel.
And so, yeah. So
nice job, Adam Murray.
Oh, my God. He is killing it.
What do you got, Katie?
The Mutant Seasons had a lot of really cool guests recently. We just had Sean O'Connor a couple weeks ago.
Ooh.
And we had this little actor kid named Oscar Dietz from Denmark. And then today we just recorded one with John Schrader, you know, Tall John.
Yeah, I know Tall John.
So it's been really fun, and everyone should go check it out.
Excellent. Gil!
Gil's 12 years old, by the way.
He was 10
season,
when he started.
He was 9 when he started.
He was 9 when he started?
And then he's turning 13 this summer.
That's crazy.
That's awesome. Yeah,
it's so weird.
A seasoned podcaster and barely a teenager.
I forget who I was talking to because I had done Mutant Season. I'm like, yeah, it was fun. We talked about video games. Whoever I was talking to was like, yeah, we did that too. We're like, oh, it's a 12-year-old's podcast. We're all talking about video games. We're all excited for Call of Duty.
Yeah, I'm excited for Arkham Knight, and I started playing Witcher 3
over
the weekend.
You're going to just start romancing people in that fictional world?
I haven't yet.
You're getting the sweaty palms button is still going? You got to, like, work
up the
nerve?
I'll tell you what gave me a little sweaty palms is I got a little bit of motion sickness a little bit.
Really?
Watching, playing Witcher, yeah.
Oh.
Because I was playing, and all of a sudden I started to feel a little
was
like,
that,
whoa.
I'd heard that before the first patch they were trying to keep it at 60, and they've locked it to 30, I believe, now. So it didn't stop
I'm extra sensitive to that sort of thing. So sometimes, especially if I'm playing a new game, where your movements are a little more wild because you're like you're looking around.
I throw the sensitivity on the sticks way down, so that you move a little more fluidly.
You can
I get
do
the same
that,
thing. Yeah, you sure can. Yeah. Oh, that
I'm
was a
bad
game changer for me. That's
literally a game changer.
Oh, I see what you did. Ooh,
huh? Game changer, Pete Holmes.
Did you get to go to E3?
No, because it's during the fucking week. And I'm at midnight. I can't go to E3.
Shouldn't there just be like you can put an old one on and just dub some stuff over just to have. Just blanket patch to a commentary over an episode?
No, the only E3 thing that I got to do was go to a thing that Randy Pitchford and his wife Christy throw this little party once a year, and it's so great.
I want to see that.
There's magic involved. I'm becoming a member of the Magic Castle, which I'm very excited about.
That's rad.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
You should get bookcases that are actually secret doors.
It's a good idea.
Like, between, like, the way you decorate your house and the Magic Casual membership, I feel like you need those.
Do you know what we're doing right now? We're talking too much in the intro, not getting to the podcast.
Yeah, you're not missing much, guys. It's fine. It's a
hey, what? How dare you?
That's a good one.
How dare you?
I just like to talk people out of stuff. It's the Tom Sawyer.
Don't talk people out of the podcast.
I'm going to try to get the podcast listeners to whitewash my fence.
Get the huck out of here.
It's a hostful podcast today. See, we had one last week. We got one this week.
You're not lying. We're doing more.
Thank you. That almost sounded sincere. This episode, which is number 694. A non-hostful intro into hostful goodness. Kind of other thing.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Legally, I need to let you know that I'm recording, and that's happening. I don't know why I brought food. I can't eat this food.
Well, yeah, you can. Joan and I will just talk to each other.
Will you do that?
Yeah. Do you want?
Have you had these things?
Yes.
These lawyer meals.
The oats.
I get them at the gym. They're just bowls full of like
that looks good.
Chia and like
that looks great. Is it sweet on the sweet side?
Oh, no,
not really.
No,
it's good.
It's just enough sweetness.
It's just enough sweetness, but it's really good because it's it's just a few hundred calories, but it fills you up for a meal.
It's real. It's real good. It's what you need.
Stuff your body needs.
That's
living in the Matrix.
That is real fuel. He's putting premium gas into his body engine.
But it's good. They switch out the flavor every day. I mean, I'm not trying to do a commercial for Moira Meals, but they're good. So
I'll do a commercial for Moira Meals. They're great.
What about Myra Meals?
Myra Meals are even better. I made some kebabs last night on the grill.
What?
I had a propane ordeal on Sunday. Dory's been gone for a while, so the house is sort of falling apart while I am just sort of being me. And I went to...
Time to go get kebabs and grill them, though, huh?
Well, I went to do... Yeah. I mean, like, that's... I'm looking, I want to eat healthy, so I figure out what I'll just head over to Pavilions, my grocery store of choice in Los Angeles now, because they have great deals on Dave's Killer Bread. This is the food podcast.
Yeah. I was just going to say, this is the unnecessary information in a story podcast.
So I bought 2-ply. I got strong weave.
It's like that.
Well, that was on sale, but I went with the other one.
40-year-old virgins. You're like, what'd you do this weekend? Well, Friday, I really wanted an egg salad sandwich. So
you made kebabs last night?
Yeah, and as Joe was saying that, my story's not going to go anywhere interesting.
No, I want to hear about the kebabs.
Oh, well, they chicken breast, right? Here's the deal with kebabs. Here's how you keep a kebab moist, all right? You want to bookend your kebab with as much vegetable on the end as possible, because that keeps the chicken from drying out on the ends, because those end pieces usually dry out. So what I do is I brush a little olive oil on there, salt, pepper, a little cayenne. I like a kick, and then crushed red pepper on there. Throw it on the grill, 10 minutes each side. You want to make sure it gets to 165 degrees. I always use a thermometer when I'm doing poultry.
When you throw it on there, do you say bam or something like that?
No, I'd like to, but...
Matt! Yeah.
Not since Guy Fieri has a guy sound so cool talking about food.
Thanks, buddy.
Look,
magic
cayenne,
missile.
What a little kick. Magic missile.
we had Korean food at Genoa the other night, which is really good.
On Wilshire?
There's one in La Cienega.
Oh.
And you do. It is kind of funny that you do cook your own food. They just bring you the implements and then you cook it.
Matt and I used to go to this one on Olympic a while back. They moved to Little Tokyo and it's like kind of that style now where you cook your own food.
Yeah.
But this one was like, they're all about like getting people in and out. So they just bring you all the food already cooked. So just piles of meat constantly coming to your table.
Yeah,
so it's like
insane.
A regular restaurant.
But I also
but it's like you still have all the little
stuff.
It's
Korean barbecue.
Oh, you still assemble.
Yeah, everything comes out cooked. It's beautiful. It was beautiful.
It was so great. It was so dirty.
Filthy. Yeah. They were constantly would have.
You're essentially in a parking lot with a cover on.
You're
it.
In a parking lot with barely a tarp over you, and they would always have birthdays there.
That is
and
the best part.
They would crank a K-pop birthday song.
Way louder than
so
it
loud,
be.
So loud, and then it would be the waiter's job to come over and spray champagne all over the birthday person.
What?
Like they get two bottles?
Yeah,
two bottles of champagne.
They're not
and
doing
then
it
they
with
just
kids.
Like, that's,
you know,
the
what?
Thing.
I don't know. They probably would. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
And it's like anyone could be around. Like, it's like you said they used to do it at the table. Then they started like scooting people away from the table.
Yeah.
And you just sit there as they one guy just pops two fucking corks off and then just like pinches the, you know, to make it squirt out even harder, and then just all over the person's body. Like, and
like
I saw one guy, like, it went into his eye.
Race.
Yeah. Because I saw one guy, like, goes like, ah! Like, clearly the bubbles got up under his eyelid.
If there's anything that's really great to sit with all day, it's when champagne dries on you. And you smell like sugary alcohol for the rest of the day.
Yeah, and that's the weirdest part. Then the music stops, they leave, and then you just go sit back at your table.
Just dripping.
Everyone's laughing at you.
And then you're always wondering, like, driving home, you know, if you get pulled over, just covered in champagne. Yeah. You been drinking? No, it's my birthday. Well,
yeah, I remember one time we went there and there was like a birthday, and they, you know, they scoot the guy away from the table to do it, and then we noticed that no one at the table is even paying attention.
Yes.
To it.
Yes.
It's not like a thing where all the friends are going, ah.
Oh, it's a blast.
Yeah, it was, but it was great. It was great because it was just like you just get right into the meat, and then you end up eating. Wait, that's the thing with these, with the kind you go to or went to, like, you know, cooking your own.
Yeah.
It slows you down.
You don't
eat as much.
You gotta let your body get used to the fact that it's gonna take 20 minutes for this food to be ready.
Yeah, this place just fucking handfuls of fucking
piles.
Spicy chicken.
Can I say that I'm not really a believer in the Kobe beef? Are you a Kobe beef fan?
No, I don't. The
way price, overpriced.
The price
way overpriced.
Not, doesn't do anything.
And it's so. I think part of us was like, oh, but it's marbly, and it's like, yeah, but that doesn't give me a good. It's I'm not a fan of Kobe beef.
I don't think it's worth the crazy price difference. I mean, essentially, it's just they're just feeding their cows beer, right? Isn't that what it is?
Or it's all their birthdays and they're just shooting
they're
on the cows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's Sapporo beef you're thinking about.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I've had both. Like, I went to a steakhouse in Vegas in February and somebody at the table got a Kobe thing for like, it was like $130 for 6 ounces maybe. And so we're all trying it and we're all like going like, oh, wow, this is not worth it.
I feel like it's kind of like the I feel like they've done something with it, sort of like the illusion of diamonds, where they just they've somehow created their own supply and demand thing so they can charge you three times as much for it.
Yeah, it's up
and
to
you,
them.
And you're eating it going, I guess this is what rich people are supposed to eat.
All it really is
that,
when,
is
like,
that what
it's
you're
like
constantly doing with Lydia.
This is delicious.
Right, no, I wasn't referring to me. But it is one of those things though. It's like
I was not referring to me.
Yeah, I had Kobe beef, and they go, ooh,
right.
You know, it's like, but you don't tell them the rest that it was just a piece of meat.
Yeah, it's not that.
There is some meat though that's worth it. There's if you go on America's Test Kitchen, they did a thing where they tested all of the. All those mail order, like Omaha steaks and so on and so forth. And the winner was, I think it was called Anderson's Ranch, which is in Southern California. And I did order it. It was like, I think I paid $180 and they sent 8 New York strips and they were phenomenal.
That's
so
cool.
Like good, like grass fed, good beef. You can definitely tell the difference. But the difference between grass-fed good beef and Kobe doesn't justify the price.
I find the best meat to be the Hearst Ranch meat.
Of course.
Well, I find that to be a little overpriced for what you get.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
I went to get a chuck roast. It was $13 a pound. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Worth it.
When I was in South Beach, Florida last year, and like we were for the comedy festival, and Comedy Central took a group of us out for dinner at whatever restaurant was in the W Hotel in South Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And Byron Bowers, he's like, "What's the most expensive thing on the menu?" And they're like, "Well, it's the steak." He's like, "I'll take it." And it gets to our table, and it's just like 2 inches thick. And the size of the plate. The bone of it is coming off of the plate.
Probably for two. It was like a tomahawk chop for two.
Yeah. And like he's like, yeah. Like it came out. Yeah. He was so stoked. He had like 3 bites. And he's like, fuck that steak. The funniest motherfucker.
Good move, Comedy Central.
Yeah.
But I think it's also I think the... I'm so annoyed by the illusion of the lobster, which is basically just a sea insect.
Nah, it's just a butter delivery service.
And they're delicious. It's not like they're rare or that hard to get or that fancy.
Well, I'll tell that to the people out here that price it.
Well, they used to. In the early days, lobster wasn't it really like, oh, this was the most common thing that you could scoop to? Like someone did the same kind of thing with lobster where it was just a branding issue. They just changed the way people perceived lobster.
Yeah, but isn't some of the stuff that we consider fine dining now used to just be street food? Isn't that kind of the thing that always happens? Like, you know, sushi started off as just stuff that was sold on carts in Tokyo. Like, it's like
I think some native Vietnamese folks that would come out here on vacation and see some of the banh mi places that have popped up would just laugh hysterically.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. We need to go to other countries and open like a hot dog stand.
Yeah, I think that's it, though. It's like, isn't it the whole idea of ratatouille? You know, it's like ratatouille is peasant food, then they make it fancy. I think
the whole idea behind that was that Patton Oswalt as a mouse opened a kitchen.
A rat.
You have no,
hence the ratatouille.
No imagination.
I know. It was just,
he couldn't even nail the rodent.
I was being playfully.
He's a mouse.
And then I was volleying it back, saying like, you have no imagination. And then you would have to then double down on.
No, but Judge Myra over here like got to step in. And
overruled.
Can you say I'll allow it?
What? Can you allow your own overruling? He's allowing his own overruling.
That's yeah.
Overruled. I'm going to allow that. I just overruled something.
Allowed.
What are you been up to this week, Jonah Ray?
I saw Inside Out.
Yeah, how was it?
It's great. It's great. Probably the best designed Pixar movie in a while. It just like doesn't look like anything else they've done.
Fucking crushed at the bottom. Jurassic World made another shit ton of money, and then Inside Out made like $90 million.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, but didn't
Jurassic
World take over? Didn't they win?
Jurassic World won again.
Jesus Christ.
But Richard Kind, as the voice of Bing Bong, should win all the awards. That was an amazing performance on his part. And then I watched the Dangerous Adoption.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about this.
Yes.
I grazed the subject a little bit on At Midnight. Lydia and I, we're going to watch like 5 minutes of it. Because it immediately, like it was kind of rifling through Twitter, like Deadly Adoption right at the top. Like, okay, I'll see what I saw one billboard for it on Barham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Barham
and so apparently the original plan was for them to not do any press for
that
it.
That was like, yeah,
they were just gonna like too many cooks it. You know, just
let it out.
Just drop it. And so I was like, let's watch this for 5 minutes. And it totally sucked me in because they are constantly on the edge of a joke
there's no jokes.
No jokes.
Two moments that might be construed as jokes. When he says the really long line about her type of diabetes, the doctor's diabetes,
it's like he's
in this emotional state and he says like the very technical scientific version of diabetes, and then like at the very end when they just are dancing for too long.
That's okay. So I feel like that's when they are winking to the camera.
Yeah,
because it.
Why didn't I watch? Oh, I was in Vegas
the whole time. The entire time.
Why didn't I? Oh yeah, I was getting laid.
Yeah, I was eating steaks and Vegas.
I went to Vegas by myself.
Aww. Well, let's talk about that in a second.
No, go.
Let's. Deadly Adoption. Deadly Adoption was like, I felt like I was staying in a relationship for too long because I'm like, well, this has got to pay off sooner or later.
Yeah.
It was like one of those. And then finally, at the very end, they did the based on the true story, and then I was like, okay,
yeah.
But it was every hacky trope that every Lifetime movie has, like across the board.
You know, they say Andrew Steele wrote it, and if he did, fucking good job. Like, I mean, but he's written straight stuff before. Like, he did Casa de Mi Padre, the Spanish Spanish language movie that Will Ferrell did. But everything was done straight.
And it's not until the end, because the whole time I kept saying to Lydia, like, why would they do this? They're both filmed. Why are they doing this?
But it's a whole piece, the whole idea.
Yes, but when I got – but when, Matt, you can't say it because you haven't seen it, but when you're watching it, you're like 20 minutes in, you are saying to yourself, why are they doing this?
Like, well, and I haven't seen it, so you guys
it's not till the end. It's not till the end where you go, oh, thank God. This is a giant art project. This is a giant.
Immediately, that's what I realized.
Once,
after the first act, I was like, oh, they're just going to do it straight.
And that's what I thought. I thought it was just, and correct because I haven't seen it. Let me know if I'm wrong. But I assumed what they just did was essentially just took a Lifetime script and did it.
Yeah. And that's like, and they clearly used all like Lifetime production people. Because the sound, the camera work, the editing, the like staying on a thing for too long, like
everything about it. said, this is a Kaufman piece. Like, this is an Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
This is basically an Andy Kaufman piece.
The joke is that they just did it.
But there are times, but when you're sitting through it, you're like, Jesus Christ, they're committing.
Yeah,
they're
and they were great. It was like they played it amazingly straight, and it was awesome. The thing is,
Will's
like,
Chuck Norris beard was a little off-putting.
But it's like the same kind of beard from the guy from Hand That Rocks the Cradle. Which is like, it's a very similar story. It was just done like so perfectly and without any winks, and that's what makes it a whole thing.
Right. I think also the beauty of that sort of thing would be that the people that normally watch Lifetime would just watch that as a Lifetime movie and be 100% satisfied.
We had a hard time, because a few of my friends were watching it, and then we're just like, we're gonna like make fun of it, but then you're like, well, we can't make fun of it because they're there, and if they're not making fun of it, so you can't even say it's like a movie that's being bad on purpose almost. You know,
It's almost like. It's almost like trying to Mystery Science Theater a Tim and Eric sketch.
Yeah,
you're like,
exactly.
No, they're trying to do this thing, and you can't. Tag it like they don't know. They know.
And Brian Safi played.
He was great.
Yeah, he was so great in it. So everyone was so great in it. It was, and that guy that looked like Pacey. But I really enjoyed, because like, you know, I remember when we were doing. Like Super Deluxe stuff and like the Freeloader's Guide, and then like it would, like there was a couple times where we just were like, and then it turns into a zombie movie, and you know the notes we got back were like, well, where are the jokes? They're like, and our response was, the joke is that it just turns into a straight zombie movie. Like it's just a horror movie now. That's like, isn't that so weird that it went from being this, you know, how to guy to now it's just a horror movie? They're like, well, you got to have jokes in here. It's a comedy. We're like, the joke is bigger than. You know, like the premise,
and
is
not
a
only that,
joke.
but it's. I feel like it's more intact as a satire piece this way, because if they had done it as a comedy, then that's what you would expect them to do
exactly.
And so it really. But honestly, sitting through it, just the two of us, and I was like, okay. Because you kept thinking it around every corner was going to be like, oh, this is when they're gonna, and then finally at the end you're like, oh, thank God!
But even that though, even based on true story, is like a subtle just the dancing at the end where like he has a spoon
part.
And he goes like,
yeah,
I'm not.
After, by the way, after he's cheated on his wife.
Yeah,
Their friends have been murdered.
Yeah,
he was shot twice and somehow swam
to get, yeah. But did you guys, when it reveals Kristen Wiig at the end with a gun, did you guys? Could we all went, oh, like we were so invested in the story and loved the reveal of that. Like we were all.
Well,
it.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was going to be one of the cops or something.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, but it was it was a very genius way of layering of like, you know, take this filter and put it over this, put it over these resources.
Yeah.
And it creates this strange dissonant comedy piece.
Yeah.
That,
but it wouldn't have been, it would, if it wasn't them in it, it would have just been,
it would have been a regular
Lifetime movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's, I love the idea of that. They just would have put it out,
but it's one of the reasons why Will and Kristen too, two of the people that I respect so much in the business, because Will in particular, like, he literally just does whatever he feels like he wants to do.
As long as it's like, no, they all have like, it's like, and TJ Miller is starting to like veer into that in his life of just like, what is the bigger comedy thing I want to do with my
career? I'm not even sure if Will is asking those kinds of questions. I know TJ would.
Yeah.
I think Will is just sort of like, you know, I think it'd be fun to do a weird regional beer commercial. You know, I think it'd be fun to do a movie in Spanish. You know, I think it'd be weird to do that. Like,
yeah.
I think it's just like
it's impulse.
He's just picking. He's picking stuff that to him seem weird and fun and challenging and interesting.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what anyone else says, because no one would have advised them to do that movie and do it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
for sure.
He did it without any regard for, you know. Because there are so many fear-based decisions that get made. Is this going to hurt something further? Am I going to, you know?
Yeah.
And he is such a shining example of, like, just do what you want. Like, just do what makes you happy. And yeah. Kristen, too, just do something that you think is fun. It doesn't matter if people get it or not. As long as you're into it,
yeah,
do it.
I love that she, you know, after Bridesmaids, which was a huge box office success, she could have easily had tried to go and do like another big comedy movie or a big, you know, studio movie, but she just like dove right back in and has been doing like quality indie movies.
Kristen's someone I think she'll win an Oscar at some point.
Oh, for
someday.
Sure.
She's not just a brilliant comedy person. She's a fucking amazing actress.
Yeah, she's great in Skeleton Twins.
So
yeah.
I you know, she's just the two of them together, especially. You can't. It's difficult to take your eyes off either of them when they're in a scene.
Yeah,
and so
no, it was great.
Good job, them.
Good job, them.
Matt Myra, how was your deadly adoption of Vegas?
You know, it was good.
How long did you go this time? Did you stay the night?
I did. I was there for 12, 13 hours, something like that. I dropped my cousin off at the airport.
Is that a euphemism?
No.
So she made it out alive.
She did after setting off my alarm on Saturday while I was at the gym, and then I had to run back over to the house, and like the alarm is so loud, like the house alarm, and the
Myra, yeah. Myra, Myra, Myra.
That's exactly what it sounds
like.
Like
you even did a Doppler effect. Yeah. As if yeah. His house is flying
house
by.
His house
is an ambulance.
Where's it going?
His house is a French ambulance.
Yeah. what was the impulse? You dropped
her off at the
LAX,
you know,
clearly on the way to Vegas.
I didn't do it. I didn't. When I was I forgot something. Like, I forgot my phone. And I was like, oh, I'll be right back. Let me lock up the house and grab my phone. And then when I was in the house, I just saw my bag, and I was like, a clean pile of clothes, and I just threw.
You have like a bug out bag?
No, it was like my gym bag was next to the pile of my. The housekeeper had put the laundry like next to the bag.
Okay, all right. Wealthy.
Clean clothes. Man.
Not relatable, Matt. Well, housekeeper, your majesty.
My impulse trip to Vegas. I had to wait for the Juanita to finish up cleaning.
Maria is her name. You know, that was the. It was just – that's why there were – I would never have a pile of folded clothes anywhere.
Yeah.
So it was there, and I just grabbed it and threw it in the back, and I took Dory's car because she's out of town, and I was like, ah, fuck it. I'll just take the convertible. So I just dropped the top and drove her to the airport, and then it was 8 o'clock at night, and I was like, well, I'll check the traffic. And I said, if it's over 4 hours and 10 minutes, I'm not going. If it's under, I'm going. 4 hours, 9 minutes.
so you just drove to Vegas?
Hopped on the 405 and went. And then probably just after Barstow, I was like, I should probably see if there's a hotel available. And I don't know what the fuck was going on in Vegas, but there were like no hotels.
Oh, no way.
I had to stay. I ended up staying at the Wynn for much more money than I ever wanted to.
The Wynn.
I wanted to stay at the Venetian. I wanted to stay at the Venetian.
Some hotels off the strip.
Well, I was planning on spending so little time there, it didn't make any sense for me to do that. Because I was like, my plan was to either do one of my day trips where I just go spend 4 hours, then drive back.
Yeah.
So you stayed at the Wynn, you drove to the Wynn.
I drove to the Wynn, checked in to the hotel, stayed up. I got there at 12:30 in the morning, and I stayed up till probably 2:30 in the morning, and then woke up at 9, and then stayed in Vegas till about 11:30 and then left.
11:30 at night?
In the morning.
Wait.
4 hours.
But you spent more time in the car than you actually were.
No, I slept. I spent.
No, but you spent 8 hours in the car, 7 hours sleeping, but only 4 hours actually.
Yeah, that's like when I go do a day trip there. I'll always, you know, I only.
Feels like a lot of effort for 4 hours.
Not, but he likes driving, too.
I like the drive. It's a clear shot of a drive, and I just fucking can just zone out and just listen to podcasts if I want to you know, whatever. I usually just, listen to podcasts. I was like listening to old How Did This Get Made.
Did you play blackjack or?
No, I played a little bit, just a little bit of roulette and then.
Mostly Back to the Future slot machine.
No, they're gone.
What happened to them?
I can't find them.
Oh, really?
So
they were so popular a year ago.
They were, but.
Maybe they lost a license on it or something.
So I found the one, there's one Cheers slot machine still left on the strip.
Was there a Mac and Me slot machine?
At the Palazzo. Mm-hmm. No, but I did play the brand new giant Friends slot machine, and I was like, why did it take them so long to make this dumb thing?
Because it's on Netflix now. It's back in the zeitgeist. Well, it might have been around. You never know.
No, that was brand new because it popped. I saw it at like four
casinos. Maybe they remade it, but you never know if there was one back in the day.
Oh, that's true.
I don't think they were.
Imagine they weren't so wheelie dealy with licensing.
I don't think they were doing. I don't think they were doing those as much in the '90s. Is no. I feel like that's the last 10 years. That's really
it. Is they're getting ridiculous at this point as far as how much money you spend per spin on a penny slot machine. Now it's five. You can spend $5 a spin, and the interactiveness of the. They have two massive screens now on most of them where something's happening down here, something's happening up here, then the bonus happens and it's this whole game.
It's like it was the simplest form of gambling.
They made
it even simpler by you don't even have to pull the crank, you just press the button.
Well, I think maybe they're banking on confusing people with all of the different, it's basically just that weird Union Jack pattern of how you can bet all these different lines. And I think people are just like, ugh, max bet, fuck it. Like,
That's how you win the most, too, is by max betting. I also lose the most that way. But, like,
wait a minute.
I was playing a... work it out. Go ahead.
<I'm sorry>. Okay.
I was playing an Iron Man. They had an Iron Man slot machine at the Palazzo, and this guy comes over to me, and he taps me on the shoulder. He's like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, good. He's like, how up are you? I'm like, oh, I'm like $16 up. He's like, oh, he's like, I work here, and I get off work every night at this time, and I always put $5 into this machine. Last week, I hit $10,000. So then he's like, I'm just going to do it over here. And he just put in $5. He's like, hits the spin, and he goes, oh, nothing. Like, all right.
Yeah. Funny, well, it's usually...
I'm going to put another $5 in.
Oh, no.
Nothing. All right. He leaves for 5 minutes, comes back, puts another $5 in. He's like, all right, I'm really going now. And then I never saw him.
Ouch. That man went to commit suicide.
Yeah. But he said, hey, that machine usually pays out at 1:30 in the morning. And then as soon as he left the last time, I hit like $300 on the machine.
Jesus.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens when we start getting more either Oculus technology or even augmented reality technology in gambling and slot machines where you could essentially be immersed in a world, like you could go into the world of Friends and somehow gamble.
Yeah, casinos are going to start to look like opium dens.
They're going to look like the fucking power towers in the Matrix.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just going to be old people.
Yeah, just plug in.
I mean, listen, if as a commentary, people are the batteries that power Las Vegas. Mm. So it's not crazy.
It was like, I was going to do it Friday afternoon just because, Dory was out of town. So, I'll usually go do a day trip when she's gone. And then Friday afternoon, I went to look. I was like, oh, maybe I'll just go to Pechanga and play some slots. And then I looked in the traffic. It was going to take longer on Friday afternoon to get to Pechanga, which is 89 miles away, than it would have to go to Vegas at that time.
So you just went to Vegas.
There's so much fucking traffic.
I think that's so fascinating, though. Because I don't enjoy driving, so the idea of being in the car for 8.5 hours, 9 hours, just to go somewhere for 4 hours, doesn't sound fun to me.
You think you like driving with how much you spend on the devices that make you drive.
Mm. All right, can we not?
The devices.
I'm just talking cars, man.
Yo.
I'm just talking. This is just some gear talk. Yo, I'm just another. Talk. I'm just a fellow gear.
What you
man.
Got a Hemi in there? What do you got a four? What do you got a 420?
Yeah,
in there, on that just car block.
It's nice. Car it's block. Nice car. What's your next car gonna be?
Leave. Oh, he's locking it at least for another year.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I got this one for a year, so
leave.
I don't know.
Leave Tesla.
Leave.
Saw a place on Santa Monica. If you drive a Tesla, you get a free cup of coffee. That should make up the difference in the money, I think. Think about it. Free cup of coffee. You get like two cups of coffee a day. It's like $6. $6 every day. How much is a Tesla?
They're not that expensive. They start at $65.
For a base model.
And then you can get it up to like $85.
But for a base model.
I thought they were way more. I thought they were $200,000.
No, they go up to about $120. If you... the thing is, the base model has the smallest battery. It has the least amount of features. But when you start, if you want the battery that charges faster, mm-hmm. if you want a unit that isn't just you plugging into like a 220, like if you want like a supercharger unit to charge the car, that's another add-on. If you, okay. I mean, it's like
so it's like regular cars then.
It is like regular cars.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like I probably would be – I'll be more inclined to go Tesla when the number of charging stations around town – I mean like around – like.
Do you really think you'd get into a spot though? Well, like you run around during the day, but you always end up at home.
Yeah, but I wouldn't drive it a long distance.
Yeah,
right.
But you rarely drive long distance.
That's true.
Unless you're like out somewhere else and then you rent a car.
That's true.
Just saying.
Well, I got nothing then.
You got nothing.
I got nothing left.
Nothing left.
You took everything.
Wait a minute. No.
You took everything from my electric car argument.
Now with nothing, you have everything.
Oh wow. Oh what. Oh.
See you guys later.
Oh my God, Jonah was a ghost the whole time.
Just take your keys and I'll keep you on my ghostly way.
I don't think ghosts refer to themselves as ghosts, do they?
Sure, we do. Sure.
Wait, hang on a second.
So where's this parked now?
You can't drive. You're not a material object.
Oh, yeah, we'll see about that.
Well, that's weird. You're picking up the key.
It's just floating around.
Wait,
you don't
when
see
did
shit.
You die?
What?
I'm sorry, I just never really got the history on when you died.
Oh, boy, you forget. You forget when you become a
ghost. Your clothes look pretty current, I gotta be honest.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, style is cyclical, so this is like clearly I could have died this year. Could have been 10 years ago, 20 years before that. You know, this is just...
You're watching Ghost Grifters on Destination America. We've been watching this show called Paranormal Survivors. Paranormal Survival... Paranormal.
You'll get no correction from us.
I think it's Paranormal Survival, but it's the most almost ghost show you'll ever watch. Where it's clear you watch and you go, well, this show clearly costs $100 to produce an episode.
Yeah,
and it's people telling stories about things that are sort of spooky that they somehow very tangentially connect to being some type of a ghost story.
Oh man.
And the reenactments, the actors that they cast to represent the people telling the stories are fucking hilarious because there's no – it's like they'll cast a husband and a wife. You'll see them. And then the reenactors is just like a guy who looks nothing like him who's like 25 and a woman who's like 50 playing the wife. Like there's no consistency with how they – it's just like, oh – who showed up today? Okay, your craft service. Get in there. Yeah. I just want you to pretend like you heard a noise in your car. That one's on Destination America, I think.
What's that?
It's a deep cable channel that shows a lot of ghost shows. And I used to really be critical of the ghost shows just in terms of like, oh, come on, this is ridiculous. But this one is even – it's like they've managed to go a level cheaper.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
So that's even more enjoyable.
I have this idea where I want to just take an old series of ghost shows, like just one series that didn't do very well, and then intercut into the OTF confessionals the ghost's point of view.
Oh, that's funny.
So the whole time people are like, and, you know, I went up to get – my coffee at 3 a.m. because I'm a trucker, and then the cup just like flew off the counter, and then cut to the ghost like, yeah, I got up in the middle of the night. I just went to get some water, and this crazy guy in a hat came screaming.
Clearly, like on some kind of speed.
Yeah,
he was.
So I grabbed my cup away because I didn't want him to have it. Like, I want the ghost point of view.
That's really funny
on those shows.
I'm sure you can find some like out of cycle.
There's no old ghost shows in the Prelinger archives, which is where you'd want.
That's where they all live.
That's where all the ghosts.
Oh, you know what else? I saw the movie Dope.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
What's it about?
It's kind of got a Risky Business vibe to it. It's about these three nerdy kids living in Inglewood.
Yes, this is the one. Did Pharrell produce this?
Pharrell, I think, was one of the producers. Forrest Whitaker as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's it's cool. It's like it's a fun watch. It's like, you know, it's like kind of describes what like a black nerd is, and like it's like they say we like white boy shit, which means skateboarding, punk rock, Donald Glover.
That was a joke in the
movie. Yeah, that was a joke.
That's
yeah.
fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it was one of the first jokes. Got a huge response in the fucking theater. But yeah, it's a fun watch. It's a fun watch for sure. And it's got like a real good risky business thing where it's like, you know, the whole plot is that they kind of come, like they get in possession of like Molly, a bunch of Molly, and they get like, you know.
You mean the song by Sponge?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know SpongeBob.
Of course you know Sponge.
How's it go?
They did the song. It's all the song that's all about Molly Ringwald.
So you hang it at the bank. Cigarettes dance on your ass.
Yes.
I want people to know that was Chris singing. He's double checking himself.
Don't ask why. Don't ask why. Oh,
okay. 16 candles down the.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Guess I know more about music than you, huh?
Sure do.
Feel pretty good today. Hey, Jonah, you want to come over? I can show you some hot new tracks.
Oh, sweet. Good licks on these tracks, Chris.
We don't say licks anymore, Jonah.
What? Then how do you describe tasty licks? So if someone is on a song going, how do you describe that?
We call them banana-da-doops.
That's racist.
How is that racist?
Yeah, figure it out.
No, I can't. Don't just say that and let people connect dots that aren't there.
Dots? Oh, yeah, dots. Like Indians?
No,
Jesus Christ,
even...
Chris.
Jonah!
Jesus Christ.
You fucking grass skirt. You all wear that, right?
Well, yeah.
You
I mean,
all.
We all, everyone, male and female, wears it, but only the women and chubby guys wear the coconut bras.
All right, so I'll watch Dope. We watched basically every horror movie that we can find.
Yeah, you guys are going. You just like clean it up through the.
And there was one that I hadn't seen. That you know what I find? There's an interesting discrepancy between.
Did you finish? Sorry to interrupt you.
Yes, we are still here.
Yes, did you
fucking
finish it?
Great. Okay, I don't know what you were talking about, Kyle. I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought.
Shut up, Kyle.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic. I loved it. I thought it looks great. The vibe of it was cool and the mechanism of it was cool and it's really fucked up and fun. And
that's also, it's like my favorite era because it's like, you know, like House of the Devil or The Conjuring. Mm-hmm. It's like that late 70s, early 80s era.
I think it's the best time period for a horror movie because there's a little bit of technology, but not that much.
Yes.
Like now people have cell phones and computers and internet. Yeah. Oh, they can research stuff. But in the 70s, there was no.
Yeah.
I feel like there was much more room for human interaction for exposition rather than in a horror movie. Like, oh, we could just look this up.
Yeah.
Or, well, our signal's gone.
Yeah, but that happens in The Gate where it's like, what's going on? Well, in this ancient, death metal record, it says, you know. Has all that kind of information.
But we
watched. It's an ancient book.
There's a weird discrepancy in iTunes between the iTunes rating and the Rotten Tomatoes rating. Mm. So a lot of times,
iTunes, I never trust iTunes ratings because that's idiots.
I don't know if I 100% trust Rotten Tomatoes ratings.
Say what?
Because we watched.
Wait a minute.
Because we watched Orphan. Have you seen Orphan?
No.
It's the one, it was the poster.
That super hot chick that's pretending to not be a little girl, or reverse that, she's pretending to be
a
little girl.
Oh, shit, man.
That's why I reversed it. Good God, thrusters on full. Katie, we gotta go back.
Now, Your Honor, if you want to pause that right there and replay that,
no!
Mr. Myra clearly states.
Chris, why are you also in this courtroom?
Overruled. I'll allow it. But it's
that's my baby boy. That's I'm like dressed like in a babushka, crying. That's my baby boy. Don't take him to prison. He gonna get butt fucked.
I'm sorry, Jonah. I'm still imagining it's you in the babushka.
I don't know how many kids he have sex with, but don't take him away.
Take him away, my baby boy.
But. Orphan was the movie with the little girl's head, and you couldn't figure out why the picture was so weird until you realized that they basically mirrored her face on both sides.
Oh, yes.
And
came around
like,
the same time as Mama?
What's wrong with Esther? Yeah. But it's a really great movie because Vera Farmiga is a fucking phenomenal actress.
Yeah.
And she's really good in it. And so is this this guy Peter Sarsgaard is really good too.
This guy Peter Sarsgaard. I think we all know Mr. Peter Sarsgaard. Here he is. All
right. Hey guys, thanks.
Sarsgaard.
Peter Sarsgaard was great, and it's a really good like psychological thriller horror movie.
Yeah.
Like it makes me want to see more really good actors in horror because it's horror. I feel like it's one of those genres that's sort of a throwaway genre because the fact that you're making a horror movie automatically makes it somewhat interesting,
mm-hmm.
and you can make them cheap.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's easier to make a cheap horror than just like a cheap drama
you don't need lights. You know,
well, you don't need like the fact that it's cheap sort of helps drive.
No, it's always been the like you know that's what companies use horror movies to make money.
But I really want to see really amazing actors, but in just kind of low end. Horror movies.
But that's what I liked about The Last Exorcism.
Yeah.
That guy, and I have forgotten to look him up to see what else he's done, but like he made that movie.
Right.
You know, he was so charming and then so real and so great in it. I fucking loved him. I loved him so much.
Yeah, I
it's never been a genre I've enjoyed.
Really?
Yeah.
You like sci-fi though.
I like some hard sci-fi. No, I like the fucking vanilla sci-fi, like Star Trek and Star Trek.
Star Wars?
Star Wars is fine. I mean, yeah. I grew up.
I know you
Star
don't like
Wars.
Fantasy.
Nope. Don't care for a sword.
The lightsaber is like a sword.
Yeah, that's why I don't like it as much
as
Star Trek.
And a phaser is like a gun sword.
No, it's
gun
not
saber.
Really
it's
a
like
gun.
A gun.
It's not a gun saber.
It's a gun lightsaber. It shoots out the shit that's in a lightsaber.
It doesn't.
Hang on.
I'll allow it.
Yeah,
oh, you're gonna allow it.
That's yep. my baby boy. Judge, jury, and executioner.
Oh, Judge Dredd, I like. That's not fun.
Yeah, Dredd is right.
So you like action?
I don't know.
What do you like?
I mean,
I know you like James Bond movies.
I like James Bond movies. I like Jaws.
Does James Bond count as its own genre?
No, I mean the spy genre, I suppose.
So like, you know, James Bond, spy.
Yep, James Bond and spy. Austin Powers, the spy who shagged me.
Yeah.
I ignore the other two.
Yeah, no, I enjoy the whole catalog. Other spy movies, The Man Who Knew Too Little.
Spies Like Us.
The Man Who Knew Too Much. Spies Like Us, Spy Kids.
And like Flint.
Did the kids from Spy Kids actually do spy stuff, or were they just go in there, shoot them up?
No, the Spy Kids were spies.
I never saw them.
Yeah, I saw the first two.
Yeah. I want them to show
up. I'll bet you did.
I want them to show up in a...
You're under arrest.
Let me do this time.
She became hot when she grew up.
I should have been weary when he was listening to all that Pete Townsend.
Oh, that reminds me.
Up in the dark.
Just reminded me. I played the Beetlejuice slot machine, and there's way too much Jeffrey Jones on the machine.
Oh, really?
I'm like, this feels weird.
Whatever happened with that? Is he in prison? Oh, that's a bummer.
He's in prison?
I mean,
I wonder
good.
If he needed his evidence folder that was on
good
his
Good, reverse it, Kitty.
Can we just confirm that before you 100% say, so we're not...
I believe I looked it
No, don't
you
believe
question
I'll just
the
look
Kyle?
It up right now.
I looked it up because they pulled that extraterrestrial thing out of Disney World because he was in it. And it was after they were like, oh, he's going to prison because he's guilty. And they're like, oh, let's yank this unpopular ride.
So well, how did Pete Townsend – because he was trying to say the same thing as Pete Townsend. Like he was doing research or something like that, right?
I'm just going to go to the section.
But like they were both sexually assaulted as children. And it's just so shitty.
I don't think he's in jail. He just the two times he was arrested. Okay, here's
two
here's,
times.
Here's again, everyone. This is from Wikipedia, which is not always the finest source in actual information. 2003, Jones is arrested for possession of child pornography and accused of soliciting a 14-year-old boy to pose for pornographic photographs. Jones pleaded no contest to a felony charge, 5 years probation, counseling, and he had to register as a sex offender. Jones. And the aggrieved boy settled in Los Angeles Superior Court for damages related to the matter in 2004. Subsequently, he was arrested two times, but that was for failing to update his sex offender status in Florida and California.
Bong bong.
Really changes the whole idea of him trying so hard to find Ferris Bueller.
He's too old for him at that point.
You should just quit now.
Yeah.
That was the best joke of your life.
Nine times.
I was. Are you leaving?
No. Oh, you're picking up.
I discovered. I did not know this. There was a. This is sort of related to what you're talking about, but in the 70s, the ivory soapbox was a young woman holding a baby over her shoulder, and she's kind of turned to the side, and you just see her, you know, this young pretty face and this adorable little baby. And it turned out that the model for that box was Marilyn Chambers. And then Marilyn Chambers, 3 years later, made Behind the Green Door. And then they had to basically recall all of the boxes.
Oh, man.
And there's photos of her posing with the ivory box proudly. And she would pose with it, you know, throughout her life.
Yeah.
And it's really, it's amazing.
And so that was early on where, like, because that was the whole thing with, what's the shim? Jeff, or, with the big mustache guy, porn star.
John Holmes?
No.
Ron Jeremy.
Ron Jeremy. So, like, Ron Jeremy was, like, an actor. And then, like, it's like his whole thing was, like, he just got cast in Sing. But it's, like, real progressive cinema. Where it's like,
well, there was, yeah, the 70s, it was real. That's when it really started to, because Behind the Green Door and Debbie Does Dallas and Deep Throat.
It was still like this other, it was just to them, like when they were starting it, it wasn't like smut. It was just like really raunchy cinema, right?
Yeah, it was just an acting job where you got to come on someone.
Yeah. And then, like, it just kind of progressed from there, right?
Kind of progressed to it just sort of progressed. Well,
progressed to cuddling. And, yeah. And saying, I'll call you.
Spoon porn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good night texts, you know, all of it.
Yeah. Are we cool?
Yeah. So your statement was wrong. He's not in jail. You have to be careful. You're just throwing stuff.
He did have to work up that last offense by 250 hours of community service. Yeah.
Makes me think about all the things you've said so confidently over the years that.
I have a whole bit about how I say stuff and I'm wrong.
Reset
and like, and that I just have credibility, and that's the best part of being a guy who people just assume is right in the age when people could look it up, but they won't because we're lazy.
That's a good point.
At that point, you're just like, well, it's fun. Yeah. The whole bit is that I've been telling people that Chubby Checker was dead for like a decade because I just heard that, and it turns out he's super alive. Like, I had been telling people Chubby Checker died from massive internal organ damage from 70 years of doing the twist. And like, my friend's mom still uses it as a factoid that she'll give out to people at parties and stuff like that, and it's just super not true.
That's amazing. So you did
this rock and roll is killing our children. Killing our children.
Ugh. How'd the cluster go?
The stand-up cluster was fucking fantastic.
Radical.
It was a wonderful cross-section of phenomenal performers. Everyone had an amazing set. I think maybe we should. We'll post that. When's this going up? Tomorrow? So let's post it next Tuesday. Okay. We'll post the cluster next Tuesday as a bonus episode next week because I don't want to put a sponsorship or anything in front of it.
Why don't you just charge $2 for it and sell it?
I don't want to sell it.
You have to like pay out.
I don't want to sell it.
Why don't you just do that?
Because I would rather more people listen to the
capitalist. Chris, are you some sort of comic?
This is Hollywood. This is Los Angeles.
Sort of
no comics get paid for performing here.
That's very true. Touche.
More
people will come across the comics.
I am by the way, going to pay all the comics.
Oh, I didn't mean to
say.
No.
No,
I know. I meant like.
What are you talking? I was kidding.
No. But I'm saying I would rather more people hear them.
Right.
Yeah.
And less people. Like, I don't want to make money off of them. Like, my goal is to have as many people hear them as possible.
Yes.
So I'm not putting a sponsorship on it. We're going to put it out, and what
about Totino's?
They sponsored the event itself, but I'm saying we're not. They made it possible. Like we found Carlos, who was the comic that we brought out from New York, who was great, and they're sponsoring to put him at, take him to Comic-Con, and he's going to do one of the opening sets
from there. So you got a room? Can I crash with him?
I'm sure I could speak for him and say that's fine.
Thank you, Chris.
That's up to Totino's.
Sure. But the show is about 2 hours long. It was 9 comics. And I'm going to cut myself out of as much of it as possible so it's just the comedian, because I hosted it.
Yeah.
So it was super, super, super fun.
Cool. Yeah.
Kyle fucking crushed.
Crushed it?
I'm telling you, I'm not just saying this because he's here. Kyle had an amazing – everyone had an amazing set.
That's great.
And it was really great. It was just really great to
– Sweet.
Yeah. Baron Vaughn and Al Jackson and Sarah Schaefer, Megan Neuringer, James Adomian.
It was an awesome lineup.
It was a really great lineup. Yeah. So, that'll go up. We'll put that up next Tuesday.
Yeah.
On one of these deep cable channels, I saw a really fascinating documentary. And I don't know if it's true or not, but it was so engaging that I didn't really care. But it was all about how the KKK gave rise – the KKK spawned the mafia – which in turn destroyed the KKK.
Oh, weird.
And the idea being, and I'm not a historian, so this might all be wrong information. It was on a channel that was called, it's called like the American History Channel, which sounds a little creepy, but yeah. But anyway,
tell me when there's an American Herstory Channel.
Hey, it's ESPN. but there's essentially. In the early 1900s, the KKK was actually very popular. At least this is what the special, to the special, was very popular because they came out with a platform which was eerily reminiscent of things you hear today where they're like, we got to take back America. And so they came out with their Take Back America, platform. They had a few million followers. And so they had
Twitter back then?
They had Twitter back then, yeah. Yeah, so they jumped on at KKK. Actually, they had at KKK13 because there were some there with.
Yeah, but everyone thought it was at
KKK. So, according to the special, they lobbied hard for prohibition, and so when prohibition happened, that spawned the mob, which created all these speakeasies. The KKK didn't like that because the speakeasies basically had no race lines.
Yeah.
Because everyone was breaking the law together.
Yeah.
And so it was, it was where black people, white people, Jewish immigrants, German immigrants, all these people came.
All binded by a disease known as alcoholism.
It brought the races together.
Yeah.
So the KKK didn't like that and also used a lot of like, it's against God, blah, 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 yeah. So that essentially spawned the mafia. Then the mafia kind of started going to war with the KKK. And additionally, the mafia had ties with the Jewish film executives in Hollywood. So they started making propaganda films against the KKK.
Wow.
And ultimately were able to dwindle its numbers down to almost nothing.
Is it really propaganda if it's just saying what they do?
No. But I mean, at the time, that was their agenda, was to create films which took them
to task.
Yeah, and they were presented in a... I'm not... Propaganda doesn't necessarily mean it's not true. It was presented as here's what's going on in your neighborhood kind of thing. And they made it... They exposed them and made it look really, quite frankly, uncool.
Yeah.
And
then Archie Bunker brought it back.
Nah. So it was a really, really interesting.
That's really cool.
We should get some historians on to talk about whether or not any of that was true.
That'd be really cool. Last documentary I watched, again, for the third time. But I was my friend Paul was over, and we started to watch Troll 2. And
yes.
Like, he's like, man, I haven't seen this in so long. I was like, yeah, it's so weird to see it after seeing Best Worst Movie. He's like, what's that? I was like,
turning this off. Nice.
And showed a Best Worst Movie, and then we both got bummed out. It's a great movie. It's a great, great movie. But it's like seeing this guy get wrapped up in all the stuff of them. Have you seen Best Worst Movie?
No.
You have to see it.
Out.
You have
check
to
it
see
out.
It. Well, we know people in it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, like John Gemberling,
mm-hmm.
is in it. It's like people. It's like all about the culture of like bad movies and how this was kind of like a cult phenomenon. But then they get the guy who is like the lead, the dad in it, and he kind of gets wrapped up in the celebrity that is like cult movies. And then he's like, it's just so many shots of him going like, "You ever seen a movie called Troll 2?" They go, no. And he's like, what about this line? You don't piss on hospitality. And they're like, I don't know. It's like you start to see him kind of come to terms. It's just so fucking.
It's really, yeah. It was really, I haven't seen that since I saw it in the theater. I saw it at the New Bev.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too.
7 years ago?
So yeah.
Like 6, 7 years ago.
That's still going. Is New Beverly doing okay?
Yeah, doing great.
They're doing good. Yeah, wait. Didn't we go? Wait. Did
Maybe we
go
went again? Together. Right?
Yeah, it was that. And then they showed the Derek comedy movie. Mystery Team.
No,
that was Ghostbusters.
Mystery Team was Ghostbusters.
That's right.
That.
No, wait, yeah, the new Bev is.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yes,
comes
yeah.
back around.
Yeah. Oh, and he was there.
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah,
Doug hosted it. Remember?
Yeah.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
A long time ago.
No, I'm glad we. I that was a fun journey. I'm glad that we all with the thought journey. And then no, yes, no, yes,
yes,
yes. Yeah, but the new Bev's Tarantino's doing a good job running it right now. 35mm only. So if you have a digital copy of your film, you can't show it there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, the end.
Show me that love. No meaning on your crying.
Why are you singing out of the side of your mouth?
It sounds better here.
I don't think it does.
Listen to it now outside the front.
Do the other one!
I don't see for altar. As long as we got each other. We got the weapons. We got the weapons. We got the weapons. We got the weapons. We got the glug, 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 glug.
What are you jerks doing this weekend?
Frasier Files? Frasier's Files Files?
It's almost Comic-Con time.
Frasier
Files is not the name of my podcast.
I cannot.
Other Frasier podcast.
the sentence, the other Frasier podcast, cracks me up. Do you have a rivalry with them?
There's two other Frasier podcasts.
Do you lob cannonballs at each other from across your podcast?
No, like the Frasier Files, P-H-I-L-E-S. I'm sure they're great guys. I haven't listened to their show yet, but they stopped doing episodes probably, I want to say it was in October of last year they stopped doing episodes. And they only did 4 or 5 episodes. And then Kevin just sent me a screen grab where they had tweeted at each other that, because we were doing ours, they're going to fire back their podcast. They're going to fire it back up. So there's like a
they have no chance against you
Frasier
guys.
Podcast rivalry happening.
I hear iTunes is going to add a whole section of Frasier podcasts.
You know, if they did, then you know what?
Comedy.
We're at the top of the our category. Comedy? No, Frasier.
Frasier cast.
Frasier cast. Yeah.
Crane cast.
Oh, Crane cast is good.
Is That's that good?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
But yours is called?
Talk Salad and Scrambled Eggs.
Talk Salad and Scrambled Eggs.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's good. Do you sing at the end of it or no?
No, we always play the Frasier has left the building.
Mm-hmm.
Little clip, and it's great. It's great.
Do you talk about individual episodes or do
yes?
You
okay. We do audio commentary for every episode.
Jesus Christ!
Yep, 264. Here we go. Buckle up.
Holy
just gotta get my 10,000 hours in, Chris. Then I'll be an expert.
That'll be a good 5-year-long podcast if you stick with it.
It'll take if we do it every week, we'll be done
about 5 years
in 2 years.
How?
We would do 2 episodes per.
Oh, 2 yeah, episodes.
Two
oh,
episodes
gotcha. I thought you'd do 1 episode
per
week.
Podcast,
okay.
Yeah. Anyway,
nice. All right,
Jonah. Thanks for being here.
Got your keys.
Stop that ghost!
Yeah, right, buddy. All right, Rummy.
The Titanic just arrived.
Oh, nobody said it.
Enjoy your burrito.
I usually say it.
What?
You say it.
I wanted to let Kyle feel involved.
You know what? I was working out the other day, and shittily enough, I was wearing my Enjoy Your Burrito shirt.
I've made that mistake.
Yeah, it's a real bad feeling. like all aside from like, you know, it's like, you know, it's our catchphrase. It was just the fact that there's like a kind of out of shape guy wearing a shirt that says enjoy your burrito. And they're like, yeah, keep on doing that, buddy. It was like that. And like, it's like, I also have like, you know, like I have like a shirt from Grill 'Em All, the burger place, a donut friend shirt. Like I just, fucking fruit shirt.
your Weird Al shirt from the Fat Tour.
Yeah.
All right. Get out. Get out. Yo, get out of my house. Yo, get out. Yo, get out of here. I said get out. You get out. Get out. What? I'm not eating. You get out. You don't tell me what to do in my house. Get out.
Chris, they can hear
you. I hate you. Get out. Get out. You're not my son.
It's not an insult. He's literally not my son.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.